Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm bringing you a mashup of some of my favorite interviews with different stars in the adult industry. That's right, porn stars. Topics include all the oral sex tips from someone who likes to give fellatio and cunnilingus, what it really means to explore polyamory and non-monogamy, porn, what it's like to be in the adult industry and the differences between on and off screen sex, and the art of creating a threesome, because there is an art to it. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast. God, there's so many places to listen right now, as you know. We love when you subscribe. And you can also catch me Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific on SiriusXM Radio, Stars 109, for even more awesome sex talk, calls, all the things. You can get a free subscription. Try it out, sexwithemily.com/SXM. As always, all social media, it's at Sex with Emily across the board. And I hope you guys enjoy this mashup show. I sure had fun. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Recording it.
Oh, we've got Skin Diamond here.
Hello.
Hi, Skin Diamond. She is so sexy and beautiful. And Skin Diamond, I first met you at the X-Biz Awards.
Yes.
But I've known about you because you were also at AVN Awards and you won, like, what didn't you win? So she's a porn star, a nude model, born in the United States, raised in Scotland. And you won this year. Okay, so you've been nominated for 12 AVN Awards, 6 X-Biz Awards, 5 Urban X Awards, X-Biz Best Supporting Actress, Best Surprise Female Performer of the Year. So, okay, Skin Diamond, beautiful woman. I always like to ask women, bisexuals, women, who've been with a lot of women, what you find, like, is there anything, when you hook up with women, any good tips that you have, like oral sex tips about going down on women? I feel like women know best.
Oral sex tips, I think taking it slow, lots of teasing, like not like kissing around the pussy.
Right.
And because then it's, and like biting the inside, like just little nibbles and stuff. And just taking things really slowly. Like it's not a race. You can take your time to explore if, you know, you're doing something and she makes a noise, then keep doing
it. Keep going with the noise, right. She's moaning. That's a good thing. Doesn't mean she's hungry.
Yeah. Right. I think it's just taking your time and enjoying it.
And because then you feel, and when you're with men, do you feel, I'm sure you're probably with men who are more experienced in porn, but in real day-to-day life, do you find that men a lot of times, I was trying to say this to my guy friend the other day, he's like, what do you mean guys aren't good? I'm like, there's a lot of men who just don't get oral sex. They try, or either they're not into it, or they don't really know what they're doing. I think that because every vagina is different. So you have to learn, you have to pay attention, you have to like focus on, is she moaning? Is she moving? How's her body changing? You know, and they just don't pay attention to it at all.
Well, it's even guys, like every guy likes it a little different
too. Right, same.
So I think that's the key. You have to take it slow because you have to read the person and figure out what they like. And then once you know, then you can just like the next time or whatever, you can just go for it. But especially the first time, it's like that's why I love sex, because it's different with everyone,
right?
So it's always new, it's always
exactly
fresh.
And it should constantly be that way. That's what, you know, I'd say one of the main points I make on the show over and over again is that your sex life should be expansive if you're in, especially if you're in a committed relationship. It should be something that's constantly growing, that you're challenging each other and you're doing new things and you're raising the level. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean raising the level to craziness. I just mean you're trying new things and it's exciting and it's like this beautiful thing. And so many people have so many troubles with it and they just kind of get stagnated. And it is a beautiful thing. And we're all like, we wouldn't be here without sex. It's a miracle.
I think one of the easiest ways to figure out is like just dirty talk. Now I know the guy that I'm dating, like, he really wants to have a threesome because, like, I'll talk to him about it during, like, when we're together and be like, oh, so you want to see me and like, buried in another girl. And he loves it. So now I'm like, well, now we have to have a threesome.
Are you going to?
Yeah, I'm going to find one of my porno friends.
Oh, my God, that's his dream.
I know so many.
Right, I'm sure. He's never done it before. He's never had a threesome.
No.
So he'll be his first.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's so fun. Do you like having threesomes?
I do. I think they're always a little bit trickier, though, because there's the danger of someone feeling left out.
Exactly.
So I actually prefer orgies, because then there's more people to play with. If somebody's feeling left out, you can be like, oh, well, I'm going to go over here. And
right, exactly. No, it is true. It's so true that I always say it's almost better when you have a threesome if you're not all attached. Like if it's a couple and then you bring someone else in,
it can be awkward.
So tricky because you're like, who's going to cuddle with at the end of the night, or who's going to finish off? Or, you know, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, that's just one of the minor things. But it is true that it can get sticky. Like couples who think we're going to have a threesome and it's going to save our relationship. No, you have to have like a really solid ground, really great communication before you bring in a third partner. So I want to go back to you orgasm quickly, because I orgasm, but not as quickly. And I'm very envious of people like you. So have you always, like, when did you start masturbating?
I remember masturbating with, remember those little braiding device, hair braiding twisty devices that you would get?
Yes.
I remember masturbating with that because I would turn it on and it would vibrate a little bit. So I'd use the handle.
How did you know though? Like, how old were you?
I was young. I must have been like, I don't know, like 11
right?
or
and
something.
You just knew that because you...
I was I saw something I maybe shouldn't have at a very young age. So I already had the
right,
want
it was planted,
for sex.
Right.
Yeah. But I just like, I remember the first time I like masturbated with just my fingers and like I had an orgasm and
the
I was
first
like,
time?
And I was like, oh, was that it? Because I wasn't sure. You
right.
mean when you first...
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't
so
know.
Was it? Is it clitorally or G spot or everything you orgasm?
It's a little bit of everything. I don't know. I have really strong Kegel muscles too.
Right. Do you do Kegel exercises?
I've been doing those since before I knew what they were.
Wow.
So like maybe 7, because I would when I was young, I used to have this weird complex about peeing, and I would always hold it because I'd be playing or whatever, and I didn't want to go. So
right.
I would, but by holding it,
yes.
I was like strengthening my Kegel muscles, and then I noticed that if I needed to pee and I worked my Kegels, I could actually have an orgasm without having to touch myself.
God.
So like I'd be on the bus or whatever, just like silently.
Right, silently, really, really happy bus ride home.
Yeah.
Well, Kegel exercises are so important if you don't know what they are. I have an iPhone app actually called Kegel Camp.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's
and
awesome.
Every day it pops up on your phone. There's like a little reminder and it says time for, you can set it any time of day, and it's 5 minutes a day and it's my voice that walks you through it, and there's 20 levels. So people get to like, they get harder and harder. Levels, and people get to level 20 and like men, women, and they have stronger orgasms because
mm-hmm.
of it. And I'm like, everyone needs to do it.
Mm.
Like, they don't understand, but I love that you naturally did it. So you're
it
just naturally born
difference.
For this. It's true. Do you do them during sex?
Yes, I do. That's how when I'm working, if the director is like, okay, we need you to have an orgasm, usually the girls have to fake it because, I mean, who can come on command
right.
if you're a woman?
Right.
But for me, it's a lot easier because I can just work my Kegels and
right.
I can kind of force myself to come.
Exactly, which is a great tip for women. If you do have a hard time orgasming during intercourse, I'm telling you, download my app or just do it yourself. I think just the thing about my app that's unique is that just, it reminds you because they say, do them at a traffic light, do them wherever you go, and no one remembers. So it's
I'm
like,
doing mine right now.
Right, make time for Kegel Camp, and just 5 minutes, and you will see, like, within a month that you are having stronger orgasms, and you can do it during sex. But for me too, when I want to, or when I feel like it's coming, but it's, you know, when you feel like you're about to orgasm and you're not, like, I just do my Kegels and it's like boom, and it happens. So,
big you know what fan. Else is a really
what?
Good trick?
Tell
that
me.
Well, this is this I do this accidentally. I hold my breath when I'm coming. And but it's almost like a form of breath play, because when you're lightheaded because of the air deprivation, it makes the orgasms feel even cooler.
Oh wow, that's a good one. I like it.
So
because a lot of women hold their breath the whole time they're having sex, and I often think that prevents them from having an orgasm. But you do it right before.
Yeah, I do it as I'm coming. And which is why I think I'm always so out of it after sex, because
right.
I'm like,
right, you're like,
I come so many
can
times.
You multiple orgasms?
I always do. It's weird. I'm very, very lucky. I realize that I'm very
lucky.
Yeah,
like I kind of want you to leave right now. But so, do you ever use sex toys?
I pretty much use a Hitachi religiously. I actually just recently broke mine. I need to get into one because I use it so much.
I have an amazing woman sitting here in the studio with me. Nina Hartley. Hello.
Hello.
Yay, I love the clapping. That's amazing. She, Nina is, if you don't know, which I can't imagine because everyone knows who Nina is, I feel, American pornographic actress, director, sex educator, feminist, author. You've been in how many films?
In about 900.
900 films.
Ish-ish.
And you're still doing films.
Oh, absolutely.
And everything. You're activist. You've done so many things. And I'm so in awe of your career and all the amazing things you've done. And we're going to talk about sex tonight. I mean, Sex with Emily.
Really?
But
I
if
love
anyone,
that.
I
my
almost feel like
topic.
I should. I know. How about that?
Isn't it awesome?
I know. And we're going to get into the stuff, all the things that you've ever wanted. Ask Nina. And I feel like so many of my listeners, they need tips. They need advice, like for keeping their relationships interesting and how to have a spicy sex life. And I love oral sex tips. I always ask my guests. And I feel like you would have really good oral sex tips for women and for men.
Oh,
we're going to get into that, Nina. Sexy voice. Yeah. And Anderson, are you paying attention? Are you Anderson? Are you there? So I'm here with Anderson as well. And he's making everything run smoothly.
I make things sound good.
You make things sound pretty. You're not just a
you
pretty face yourself.
Make you sound pretty,
thank
as
you.
Does Nina, and I just make sure that the levels are good. That's all
I know,
I do.
But you're doing good. Okay. So, Nina.
Yes.
I don't even know. I was like, Nina, I mean, there's so many things that Nina can talk about. And so I feel like, tell me what you're up to now. So first, well, yeah, tell me what's going on in your life now that you're excited about. What are you working on? Nina.com, which is amazing. You have that URL.
Right. Yeah. Nina.com is my website. Pay site. And it's XXX. I do need to, I've been doing this 32 years since I started dancing and 30 years in porn. And I am now old enough to have children in their 30s. But as I tell the young people with whom I work, you know, I'm old enough to be your mother, but I'm no one's mother, so it's not creepy.
Right, exactly.
So I have been working, putting more energy into branching out just in terms of talking and teaching, because I've been a feminist my whole life. And so I remember the early days of the conversation about pornography and sex and sexuality and sexual expression from the 70s, and now I have 40 years perspective on how's that working for you.
Right, exactly.
So I'm the age of a lot of young people's parents, and so but I'm not a parent, so I'm not icky.
Right.
So I wanted to give back to the community. I want to talk to young adults about what I wish I'd known about sex when I was their age.
What is, so when you say young, you're talking about people in their 20s?
I'm talking, for me, 18 to 30. I'm 54. I could easily have a 30-year-old child.
Yeah,
without it being weird.
Right.
And if I'd had a child right out of high school, that person would be 30. Two of my favorite playmates were born the year I graduated high school, and they're 35. It blows my mind. But I see them as peers because they're
adults.
What
do you mean your playmates? People that you play with, have sex with?
Right. I am not a monogamous person, and okay. I'm also queer, so I have a large circle of poly, bi, queer, non-monogamous,
right,
polymorphously perverse.
Exactly.
So I live a very sexually open lifestyle, and what people get confused about who are not wired this way is they confuse open with anarchic, with like no rules at all.
Right.
And what it really is, it's a kind of sexual orientation that works best when you keep it within people of your like orientation.
Right.
So the people with whom I play, and for me, play is almost always some kind of sexual intention, mm-hmm. if not actual genital contact, are people who share my sexual values, my sexual outlook, most of my overlaps sexual philosophy enough that we can cohabit the same space and share some kind of mutual good time. And I don't try to do that with people whose sexual values and boundaries don't mesh with mine. And the biggest thing I could tell anybody as a young adult is figure out what, and this is something you can do alone while reading. You don't even have to do it with anybody. It's just something inside yourself. What do I seem to be? I'm strongly pulled toward monogamy. I'm strongly pulled toward non-monogamy, but I feel guilty about it because of what I've been told. So am I really monogamous and wanting a fantastical dream? Or am I actually a non-monogamous person burdened with guilt? So we have to investigate.
Exactly.
So, and on and on. So my playmates, and they're 35, and they're born the year I graduated high school. It's like, get the F out of Dodge.
Right,
oh,
exactly.
My God.
But
I feel more alive than ever. I wouldn't go back and be 35 again if you paid me, because at 35, I was entering the most unhappy period of my first marriage.
Okay.
Where I was craziest and most absolutely. So I've been unhappily married. I'm happily married now. And I have insight I can impart to people. And also the whole thing about personal responsibility. Stop
right.
feeling like such a victim. I'm sure you talk about that with
yes.
people all the time.
Yes. Feeling like a victim in their own life. You mean in their own,
especially when it comes
life.
To sex. Poor
right.
me, poor me. And, you know, pull up your big person panties.
Right, exactly.
And we're not talking about actually having been victimized, obviously. We're not talking about violence.
No, but
we're talking
right,
about
what you do
exactly. when you're crazy. You keep
exactly.
picking the wrong partners.
Oh,
you
my
have
God.
This pattern that you act out again and again. You realize, and after the third time, it is you.
Exactly. Like, what's the common denominator here? Oh, okay, it's me. I know. I fully blame myself for all of my mistakes now. Like, I think it's so funny in all my relationships. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is my pattern. And people don't stop, and they don't stop and look at themselves. But I think it's interesting. So you've been, have you always known that you were non-monogamous or when you were
yes.
married? Okay.
If I'd had the words in high school, I would have recognized that I was as to quote Reed Mahalko, a poly-bi slut.
But I love Reed. Reed Sanford's right. We love you, Reed. Yes.
We love you, Reed. Reed about sex. And I never had a monogamous fantasy in my life. I always fantasized about them. I never fantasized about him. And I always felt strange about that. So when it comes to sex, I feel like Spock. I just never... And if you have friends who are very, very strongly gay, they'll tell you, oh, I knew from first grade. Oh, I knew since I was 5 years old. Oh, absolutely. And you know people like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am not. So my sexuality is as strong and inbred, inborn in me as their gayness. But because I didn't have language for it, I didn't know that it had to do with relational orientation.
Right.
Or because poly is and monogamous is separate from gay or kinky or bisexual. And it says, how do you want to run your romantic life? And I'm very happy. I need a wide variety of people with whom I can be sexual. And I have a husband, and people will say, Nina, why be married if you're not going to be monogamous?
Right.
And I say, well, my husband's my through partner. So all the sex I have is intentional.
Right.
We negotiate it. We are doing it deliberately. It's not because someone got drunk. So each time I'm with someone, that's a beautiful bead. Maybe this is a carved ivory bead, or this is a Murano glass bead, or this is a Hopi Indian bead. And I string all those beads on the through relationship I have with my husband. And they, for me, that balances out.
Right. And does he see other people as well? Or?
Nothing seriously. I'm polyamorous. He's non-monogamous.
Okay.
but the orientations work well enough that we can make it work. My primary, when I got out of my first marriage, I knew that I would be single until I was dead and have cats and lovers before I would ever consent again to be with a possessive partner. I've been struggling with my guilt over wanting a non-possessive partner for so long. And I'm struggling over my guilt about desiring multiple people because person A would get so hurt that I expressed an interest in person B because person A felt that my interest in person B therefore meant less for him or her.
Right.
And or you like B because you don't like me. You like B because I'm deficient. It's like, no, I like A and B.
And there's enough for everyone,
and
right?
And from as a poly person, A is A. Nothing else can be A, and nothing else can be you. And you can't. They don't compete.
Exactly.
So if there's another slender, attractive, accomplished, intelligent young brunette woman over here, who can rock the plaid pants, which I no longer bother trying to wear, and if there's someone who on the surface of it looked a lot like you, I would not be confused because you're you. And she would be her. And so you vibrate this string in that harmonic resonance way, and she can't pluck your string.
Right, exactly.
Only
people
you
get
or
jealous
you.
And they're possessive, and so I totally understand. Do you think that there's a lot of people, do you find, that would be non-monogamous or polyamorous if they could, but they don't even think that's an option because they have to be monogamous? Or do you think really, like, a lot of people are, you know, I think a lot of people are suffering through monogamy.
I think monogamy is an honest orientation. I think a solid 20% of people are truly monogamous. Right. One partner is all they want, and they're devoted their whole lives, and it's not a burden. And it's what they want.
They chose it.
They are it.
Right.
This is it. I met your mother when we were 15. I fell in love and never looked at another woman since. And I've met enough couples like that to know that for some people is true. And then there is 20% of the people like me who are fully acclimated to a functioning, healthy, non-monogamous relational style and have a good partner and are okay with that. And the other 60% are struggling with some balance of it. So it's not that I think more people would be non-monogamous. I think more people could be more open and fluid than are now if it were considered a healthy option. Right now, you know, monogamy is the only thing that's helpful, healthy and normal and mature and respectful. I would never put up with my partner. You let him do what?
Right.
You let her do what? It's like not letting.
Right.
So clearly, I can't be with someone like you. And I tried that. I tried very hard. I fail at monogamy. I completely am
capable. I did too.
I ended up being a cheater.
Right.
I ended up being a liar. I ended up withholding. It was it was crazy. So, but if people and say, well, you know, I want other partners, but I don't want my partner to have anybody else. It's like, then you are too immature for this. You don't get to have the cookie.
Right.
Because this is a two-way street.
Exactly.
Now, because in our culture, people get stunted emotionally at very young ages around sexuality and pleasure and what do I get to have in the world? And then they grow up to be big people and they interact with another adult person and then a trigger gets pushed. All of a sudden, they're, again, a very young child and they don't want to have to deal with their stuff. You have to do it first because I'm not going to. It's like, Right. I thought I was dating a grown-up.
Exactly. No, I understand. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. I myself, same thing. Monogamy, it's never worked for me, really. It never. And I love hearing you say this because I still think I try to get into relationships where I am. Not that I haven't been in, but I used to be a cheater. I'm a reformed cheater because I don't really commit now. And if I do, I'm like, okay, this is more open. But it's something that I never wanted from a young age. I never wanted to get married. I kept thinking that.
What's wrong with you for not wanting it?
I'm like, well, one day I'll want to get married. Well, one day I'll want to have kids. You know, it'll all happen. And I think it's so good, but no. At this point, it's just not going to happen.
I kept waiting. Right. I kept waiting for to want kids, and it never. The joke now is at the factory they forgot to wind my biological clock.
Exactly. That's what I always say. I don't have one. I love kids.
Love them.
But let's go back to your childhood. So you grew up in Berkeley, California, which I just moved to LA from San Francisco. So my heart is still in San Francisco.
It'll always be
so
there,
what
yeah.
was it
go
like?
Niners!
Go Niners. Growing up in Berkeley then, what were your parents like? Were they?
Oh, my parents are totally alt. My father was a blacklisted radio personality. So I grew up after he'd been blacklisted. Last people McCarthy got. And my mother, they had a pretty modern marriage, and my mother was going back to school to get her master's, and she had a job too. And so I grew up in a very avant-garde female breadwinner, male homekeeper household 20 years before that was popular. So that was very difficult for everybody involved.
I'm sure. It must have been.
So I was the youngest, and so I had a lot of time to myself to pursue my own interests. My parents were all of the 60s deeply into therapy. And in 1969 they found Zen Buddhism and started studying that seriously. In 1973 they quit. My mother quit her job and became full time students. And my mother is a senior priest at the Zen Center in San Francisco.
Oh, she is. She still is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So they found. I'm so grateful because. Being 1969, it could have been Est. It could have been Hare Krishna.
I was going to ask you if it was Est.
It could have been Scientology.
Thank God it was Zen. No, that's what I was going to say to you. Thank God. So then your parents are that.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, guys. What is Est?
Oh, Earnhardt Seminar Training.
I'm glad you're asking.
It was this like hippie.
It was the first cult of personality. I'm okay. You're an asshole.
Is that what it was?
You heard about things where they keep you in the room all day to, you know, when you're hungry and tired and need to go to the bathroom to break your ego.
Yeah. I mean, it was like a spiritual people. Remember like Landmark Forum? Have you heard people do that now?
Well, I think Landmark Forum is a descendant of Est.
It's kind of like...
What about the thing where people screamed?
That's primal scream therapy. My parents tried that.
She's probably done everything. At Berkeley in the 60s.
Berkeley in the
60s. I mean, seriously, like what else is to say?
Apparently that Tears for Fears song, Shout, Let It All Out, was all about that.
Oh, was it? Didn't know. Are you just saying that? Or?
No, really true.
Well, it does work. What's aren't so important as, so yes, I was a lonely child. Yes, my parents feel very bad about that.
Right.
But the positive thing out of all of that is that they show by their example that you can, their life had been upended by my father's blacklisting. The plan they have for themselves, 65 miles an hour into the brick wall.
Right.
And so they showed me that a person can cast about and find the best way to make an honorable and meaningful life for yourself according to your own needs. And for a proto-queer kid who didn't know that word yet, it was very, very liberating because part of what they also looked at was sexuality. And then there was a feminist movement where I got some of the source material because of these brand new ideas. And so there was, before the anti-pornography feminist took over the whole branch of the whole wing of feminism, there was actually quite open discussion about sex workers' rights and when women's bodies beautiful. It was this really great, it was very empowering that the thinking about,
right, exactly.
But I was younger enough that I wasn't fully an adult. I hadn't become an adult in that environment. So I was reading people's projections on a utopian way of being around sexuality young enough that I grew into it.
And you lived it and you were living it now.
And if I'd had a little more FUU effing F, I would have not put up with some of what I put up with. I was quite codependent for a number of years.
Okay.
And so in my secret mind, I wanted to be braver like Betty Dodson. In my real life, I just couldn't quite break that pattern until I finally did at 40. It's like, oh, I'm holding myself back.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, even more porn talk. How would you introduce yourself, Joanna Angel, if you had to do it on your own?
If I had to do it on my own, I'm Joanna Angel. I'm a director and a porn star. I call myself a porntrepreneur.
Porntrepreneur. Yeah. I love it. You are a porntrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I kind of do like a little of everything in the adult industry.
I love it.
I masturbate a lot. But if I do see my husband masturbating, I'm like, what the fuck?
You do?
What's wrong with me? Huh?
Do you do that?
I do. I do.
Dude, this is what we're telling women not to do.
Oh, okay. Well, I do it.
You get mad at him?
I do.
Because what? You're like... Okay. Because you're every...
But you
like,
know, I have to say my husband's favorite. My husband actually doesn't masturbate that much because he does porn. So
wait,
between doing porn and satisfying me.
But do you really feel like that sperm could have been mine? Or
yeah,
what do you feel?
I do.
Are you trying to get pregnant?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just like in general, you feel
I
like...
Yeah, I just want it because I'm a bitch.
Right. So you're like, how dare you masturbate without me? Because I would have had sex with you right now. But you understand then for men that they need that release on their own as well. Stress reliever.
And my husband, he does porn, so it's totally different.
That
you know,
is
his,
so funny.
His sperm schedule, people don't understand how difficult it is to date. You know, like
tell me about
performer,
that.
You know, like it's a whole thing, you know, because if he's...
But you were the performer first.
I was.
Then
I got him in the industry.
You pushed him in, and now it's annoying.
Like, yeah, and now it's the sex isn't annoying, and I love our life. You know, like it's fun, but sometimes, like I mean, the sex he has on camera is not what it, you know. But it's the scheduling that I kind of forgot about because this is my second time. I dated another male performer for a really long time, and I kind of forgot about this part. You know,
right?
But it's like it's pretty common. You know, when a man, I don't know how many, most people don't know this. When a man has to come on camera, you know, like he can't have wild sex the night before.
Right.
He just can't. Some of them can. It's rare.
Right. My Maybe if they're 20.
What? Yeah, exactly. Maybe if they're 20 or they're just, right. I don't know. I find that Europeans are like born with a different sexual chemical
I'm
makeup and they're
Europe.
Capable of doing anything. I don't know. It's just different.
Right.
But even some of that. But for the most part, you know, like he can't have a wild night of sex the night before. And
it's like baseball players
too,
right?
Exactly. You usually don't know your schedule till the day before. It's pretty common for a director to be like, oh, your call time tomorrow is this. It's rare for a porn director to actually give you your info a week before. So it's kind of like as soon as we know his info the next day, we have to like schedule our sex. is funny sometimes. You know, so if he's got to be on set at 8 o'clock in the morning, like we're not going to be able to bone the night before. But and we'll know that like if he has to be on set at 8 o'clock in the morning the next day after that, we'll know that like we have to have sex as soon as he gets home from work that day, or it's probably
because
not going
to
happen.
Like, right?
Yeah, he kind of needs like a good 12 hours to like refill the tank.
That makes
you
sense.
Know? Or like we'll have sex. I mean, we've gotten kind of creative. Like a lot of it's just like he can't come. You know, so a lot of times he'll go down on me for a while.
Oh,
and we'll,
perfect.
And we'll have
like I know you can't come, but
yeah, but I can.
Right.
So like we'll have sex for like you know. For like until he's like almost there, and then we'll kind of stop, you know, and then he'll go down on me, and then we kind of switch around. People don't realize how much we sacrifice just so he
I'm
can
sure.
give the world a beautiful
is
performance.
Is he on your site
you know?
As well?
Yeah,
he...
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, we perform together and
oh my God, that's hot.
It's a thing. It's really, it's like being an athlete, you know, it's different for women. We can keep coming.
I'm never like, oh, I've came too many times, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I could, like 16 times.
Do whatever.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's my question, especially during masturbation.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Off topic.
No,
I can dedicate a whole show to that.
But here's my question for you,
anyway.
A quick question for you, is that I want to know, since he's, so you've been in porn for 15 years. So he's new to porn.
He's about two years. But you've been together for a while.
So
yeah, we've been together for 5 years.
How he's changed sexually, or how your sex life has changed since he's gotten into porn, if at all.
Yeah. Well, that is a way.
Besides the scheduling,
we used to just
pleasure.
I mean, I'm not going to be like, he knows it. He would, I made him more aggressive in bed, you know?
You taught him how to be more aggressive.
I did. I mean, I basically taught him how to fuck like a porn star before he even became a porn star, just for my own personal benefit, because it's kind of just what I need.
Right. Give me an example.
Really? When
fuck like a porn star, like how you... Well, yeah, like a lot of porn.
Like, just a lot of, like... The porn stars that I really like and that I connect with in scenes, you know, we give each other a lot of eye contact. We, like, talk dirty to each other a lot. You know, just a lot of, like... Just a lot of it just comes from confidence, you know? I'm just like you know when you're with someone in bed and like they don't really know what to do, and they know it's like just pick something and do it
okay,
and like commit
is,
to it.
Okay,
you know?
So wait,
like,
Joanna, I can't tell you how many men you're going to be helping in this moment who
I
are
hope
so
I'm helping people.
No, listen to me. What I'm saying is I want to go back to this. You're saying that
Just pick it. So I think guys are like, do I take off her shirt now? Do I do this?
You're no,
like,
yeah, I don't care what let you Let your body do. Guide you. You know, let your penis guide you. Let your libido guide you. Like, just be like, oh, I really want to see her tits and grab her tits. Whether that means her shirt's on or her shirt's off, it doesn't matter. Like, if you want to grab her tits, just grab her tits. You know, like, just kind of like let your body like guide you and just. Just do it. You
what about
know?
Men
like,
who are so worried about consent and they're worried about women saying, grab, it could be touch.
It could be it touch,
if you've
yeah.
never touched I mean, her look, boobs, it could be just a, but just focus on her boobs right. in that moment.
Yeah. I mean, I think once two people, I mean, it, that's a difficult thing because you don't want to violate any kind of consent, but you also don't want to be like overthinking that well, the right. entire no, time.
I'm just trying to walk
sex.
The line here. So,
right.
But you so remember, Joanna's a porn. She knows what kind yeah. of sex she likes. But what you're saying is to guys, get out of your head and get into your body.
Yeah.
And just be like, yeah. if you want it, like tell her, even just tell her, like, God, you're so hot and I want to grab you and then
yeah,
do it. If she doesn't say
it.
No, and she's
yeah.
like,
yeah, obviously, once she says no, you stop, you know.
Right, but if she's think, like, wow, because I know for me, like
feel out the
like,
other you know person's energy. And a lot of people think fucking like a porn star just means really long and really hard and really fast, but it's not necessarily. It's
what
the
does
intensity.
It mean? Okay, tell me.
I think it's the intensity. Like, I think for me personally,
yeah.
There's different types of porn scenes, and the ones that I'm always like, yes, that was amazing, whether I'm directing it or performing it, it's when you just feel this like really intense energy, this really intense physical connection.
Siri, hi.
Hi.
We're so excited. Okay, so tell me about you. How I know, God, we got to get through like how you got started. I mean, you started mm-hmm. just how many years ago now?
2.5.
Okay, and you've already like taken off and done so well. How did you first get into this business?
It was actually like a goal of mine from even when I was like I knew that I wanted to do adult films when I was 19, and I was in my first semester of college, and it was something that I was like, I really want to do that. I put it on the back burner because I wanted to finish school. So as soon as I was done with college, I moved out here the first chance I got. Drove through across the country in
from
January
where?
From Texas.
Okay,
that's where I'm from. Made a pit stop at the AVN show in January in Vegas to do networking, and
okay.
I met some people there. And then basically, it was like a week later, I had driven to LA and had an appointment, and
it all took off from there. I mean, that's yeah. pretty amazing that you had such success. So, why did you always? What was it about porn that made you think like this is for me? I want to do it.
Just. The combination of sexual expression and openness and performing, you know, being an entertainer for me was like ideal because I'm a performer type. I was a theater nerd growing up.
You were? Okay.
Yeah. And I've always been very sexual. And at the same time, when I was growing up, I didn't feel comfortable expressing myself sexually. And I really longed for a place and like a forum to be able to do that. So for me, that's exactly what adult films does,
right?
You know.
So when you say you've always been sexual, you mean like from a young age you started masturbating or feeling?
I mean, like I was always very curious about sex, and it was something that I wanted to know about, and I had really had so much curiosity. At the same time, I was like a late bloomer. I didn't actually have sex for the first time until I was 18. I had my
right.
first kiss at 17.
Right.
So.
Okay. So.
Yeah, so it was all the curiosity led to this kind of growing up with all this pent up, like, oh, I want to, you know.
Was it because your family wasn't as open to it, or it was just more repressed? I guess everyone's,
yeah,
society's repressed. Like, they're not teaching at school or not.
To be honest, it was kind of that. It's like, I originally am from Minnesota, and I moved to Texas when I was, like, 12.
Okay.
And in Texas, they don't really do sex ed.
No.
It's just not really a thing.
Right.
So I didn't have any sex ed formally in school. Ever.
Yeah, me neither. I went from Michigan. We didn't really do anything ever.
Everything that I wanted to know about sex, no one was telling me. So I sought it out on my own. I would go to the library, and there was a website that was really popular in the late 90s called girl.com, like girls but with a U.
Okay.
And they published a book in, I think it was like 98 or 99, and it was A Girl's Guide to Life. And it had a whole chapter on sex, and it had like girls writing in with sex advice. They had doctors talking about sex advice, and it was, to me, very sex positive for
right.
teenage girls, and kind of in the way that like your podcast is, and
right.
you know, there's this whole kind of like sex education revolution
right.
happening right now.
I think so too. I think that we just I've just been so passionate about it. I mean, I always since I started the show, but I just feel like now that I have like, these nieces, young nieces, and 14 and one's 12 and they're Googling me, which is a problem, the 12-year-old. But it's like, I just know that even my sister, I was like, how do I talk to her? Like, there's not a lot of information out there. Yeah. Like how you talk to, and it's just been so passionate about lately that we just need. And I think for women, the key is like getting them to know, like I didn't even masturbate. It didn't even occur to me. I didn't even think about it. I didn't know to do it. I wish that it was taught for women to feel more empowered sexually, that it wasn't about pleasing your partner. It's about understanding your own body first and all that stuff. So yeah, it's important stuff. So what, so you do a variety of different kind of porn and styles and genres. So what's your favorite style to work in?
Oh, that's tough. Cause I mean, like I said, I'm a theater nerd. So I love doing the films that involve more acting, like parodies and feature length porn films. I love sex and that's a huge part of it, obviously.
Right.
So I don't necessarily have like a favorite type of film or genre that I like to do.
Is there anything that you're interested in doing or that you'd like to try that you haven't done yet? Or like any kind of anything sexually unseen that you
there's a lot. Yeah. If I can speak graphically.
Yes, you can swear, graphic. Come on, Sex with Emily. Like if you can't do it here. Yeah.
There's a lot that I have not done on camera that I've maybe done in my personal life,
right.
But I've kind of been holding out on camera because, well, for me, it's about, I really want a career and I want longevity.
Right.
So the longer I wait to do
exactly, more you want to blow your load, things. So to speak, right. Early on.
Yeah.
I got it. So, but so far you're happy with what you've been doing.
Oh yeah. So far I've only done like what in the industry is like kind of straight boy girl sex, you know,
and I do
girl girl stuff.
Okay.
But by boy girl sex I mean no anal, no like
right.
multiple partners or anything. I've done like two guys on film and that's about as involved as I haven't done a gangbang on film.
Got it. But maybe.
But I've done it in my personal life.
Have you?
Yeah.
You had a gangbang in your personal life. How did that happen?
A couple times.
Okay, but how did that happen? A gangbang in your personal life? Like did you send out an evite? Like what, how does it work?
Well, I'm married. My husband and I are swingers, so that's really how. I've had one formal gangbang and two like less formal ones that kind of just happened in a swinging scenario,
right? Organic gangbang.
But the one that was actually formal was a birthday present from my husband. Like he arranged it and surprised
God,
me. With, like,
that's amazing.
With like six guys at our house.
How does Steve, people are just like, what, your husband? People don't understand that could even exist, that your husband, but that's a swingers, but that you would want to watch you. Because this came up with someone recently. She's like, my husband keeps talking about wanting to have me have sex, watch me have sex with someone. And I mean, they're not swingers. They're very vanilla. She's like, but I just don't get it. And I'm like, there's just some guys. It turns them on. It's their thing. And, and it's just hard to, like, she's just kind of more conservative and just didn't get it. But I think it's awesome that you found the man for you that's down
and
with that.
It goes both ways with us. Like, I'll watch him with other girls too. And it's, for us, it's about, we enjoy giving each other the gift of experiencing someone else, someone new. And it's like he's having fun, he's enjoying himself, so that I enjoy that. And it's
right,
the same
exactly.
Way
you
him.
Get pleasure because he's having pleasure, and then you guys are also do like threesomes with other women and stuff.
Absolutely.
You've been, okay.
One so of my favorite threesomes was actually with his ex-girlfriend.
Seriously?
Yeah. She's
people
a really,
think
really nice girl.
Really? That's awesome. And that okay, so he got to hook up with his ex-girlfriend again too. Then
yeah,
that's nice. So that's really funny. That was your you're like, I get why you like her because we both like the same guys. So you guys probably got along well. It makes sense.
Totally.
It's a good way to like vet your partners and stuff. So you consider you're bisexual.
Yes.
And so are you ever with women on your own, like without your husband?
Yeah. It's not like super frequent. But yeah, definitely.
Because
yeah.
you've had, right, I think I read some of that early on, you were in just a relationship with a woman, right? Exclusively?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, around the same time that I actually first decided I wanted to do adult films, that was about a year after I started dating women. When I was 18, I decided to start dating women. I'd always been attracted to women, hadn't really explored it.
Right.
And I identified as a lesbian. As soon as I started dating women, I was like, wow, I'm full-on lesbian. And I identified that way for almost 4 years. And then toward the end of that four-year period, I realized I was having attraction to men again. And so it was like, no, wait, I guess I'm not. I guess I've always been bisexual and, you know.
When did you
so
know you were bisexual?
What
age? Like, was it a younger age that you thought that? Or was it when you got older that you started feeling more attracted to women?
It was at a younger age. I mean, the first time I knew I actually had a crush on a girl, I was like 7.
Wow. Okay. That's great. I mean, no, that's what a lot of people say. They knew at a young age.
I always had crushes on boys and girls at the same time. Like, see, when that's, I was in,
so it makes sense.
Camp.
You're like in the right place. Is there ever any time, though, when you're on camera, like beforehand, do you meet the people beforehand before you go on camera with someone? Like, what if you're not that into them? Like, how do you get yourself into it, turned on? Like, do you just fantasize something else, or you're just like, this is my job, I'm getting paid, I'm going home, I'll be with my husband? Like, what do you do?
Well, part of that is, partially, it's not even an issue, just because I've been in the industry for 2.5 years now, right. And it is a small world, so the majority of the time, I already at least know the person on some level.
Right, because it's all the same.
Yeah, and usually if I don't know the person, I prefer to work with people that I've met, like, once before, just because, you know, it's like, yeah. Then I feel like, if I haven't met them before, then I really talk to them before a scene
and get a sense of... And is there a certain protocol that before the scene, you do have to kind of say, this is what I'm into, this is what I'm not,
oh, yeah.
This is what goes?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's kind of an unwritten common courtesy kind of thing of porn is, you know, you ask your co-star, what are your likes, what are your dislikes, what's off limits? Just general boundaries, you know.
Exactly. So what's off limits, do you say is off limits for you?
For me, it's really I'm not into pain, because there's a time and a place for that. Like, right. I can be into, like, a little bit of pain, a little bit of power play, but most of the time that's off the table for me, unless I'm really in the mindset for it. So that's one of those things. But
okay.
I really enjoy dirty talk. So for me,
I
have more turn-ons than I have turn-offs.
Right. So what's your turn-on? So dirty talk is hot.
Dirty talk is a huge one.
Do you like talking dirty and being talked dirty to as well, back mm-hmm. and forth? Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Too. How would you do, can you do like some impromptu dirty talk? How would you teach people? Oh my god, please.
I'm probably going to be too flustered to do that.
I had a woman at a party like the other week. She's like, pulls me aside. This happens at parties. She's like, I hear what you do, and my new guy over there, he wants me to talk dirty, and I don't know how to start. She's like, reading books. I'm like, you just kind of got to, like, talk about what's going on in the moment.
For me, it's that's why when you're like, can I do it now? Probably not, because for me, it's so in the moment.
Right.
It's like, I pretty much just say whatever pops into my head when I'm having sex.
Well, it's true, because for women, too, not that all women are into it, but, like, the brain is our largest sex organ. Like, we want to hear words. Like, that's what really turned us on, and men, too, but for women, I think especially, a lot of us.
A good place to start, I think, is just telling the person, like, verbally expressing what you're feeling.
Right.
Like, oh my god, that's so deep in my pussy.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Just tell the guy what you're feeling.
And use the word pussy, not vagina. Right?
I've used the word vagina.
Right, but like, you're deep in my vagina. Like, you're like, what? Are we having like a gynecological exam? No, you want to say pussy. But yeah, explain how you're feeling or what you want. Like, I can't wait to have your cock inside me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you do, people. You just start explaining what you're feeling in the moment. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. I love you all. I love my amazing team. Thank you, Ken, Michelle, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.